Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. The Roaring Twenties are go. Scotland are undefeated in five, and it is bloody good to be back talking to you. As ever, I am joined by Alan and Matt. Alan, Freya, also unbeaten.
Yeah, unbeaten as a Scotland fan, and currently with a sort of less than 50% record with the All Blacks. See, I think there's been three matches, and she's only had one win, which is great, to be honest.
It's really good for the early days lobbying of making her a Scotland fan, not a New Zealand fan. So that's going well in your household.
Yes, I mean whether it continues, we'll have to wait and see. But the dream is that first Scotland New Zealand game is that first match that Scotland beat New Zealand for the first time ever, following the footsteps of Argentina.
Heady days indeed. I'd love to be in your household after that one. If Scotland ever beat New Zealand, actually, we're absolutely bonkers. And Matt, how are you, bud?
Yeah, good. I mean, watching that the Argentina game, I was kind of pretty excited, and then I just immediately realised that Scotland still had never beaten New Zealand, and we must be one of the only tier one nations that is still the case. So it was actually quite a kind of sobering event in the end.
Do we consider Italy tier one?
Increasingly not, but they probably do qualify as tier one.
And then would it be? I guess it would be just us and Italy then, because I think now every other. I never really know exactly whether like people like where Fiji sits, but I think outside of the top kind of 10. Us and Italy are sort of the only two that haven't done it now.
Yeah, tier one is what? Six Nations, Tri Nations, plus maybe Japan?
Yeah, you're right. Italy are in that. So, yeah, rugby championship.
So we are losers, but we'll do it. We'll do it for Freya. She'll get that first win out of the Scotland lads, and it's very exciting. Well, that's something for us all to look forward to. Before we get into dissecting Scotland's win against Italy and then looking forward to their next autumn fixture against France, a reminder of where you can keep in touch with us on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod, on Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod. Send us an email, thethistlerugby@gmail.com. We haven't had sort of ebbs and flows whether people fancy sending us emails, but get in there, thethistlerugby@gmail.com. And please subscribe to the newsletter. We've got another banging edition going out tomorrow. That's on Substack, Thistle Scottish Rugby pod. Not much by the way of news to talk about, other than to say it's really news about the absence of news, really. Scottish Rugby have been getting an awful lot of heat for the delayed publication of their accounts. And they sent out an update at 5:30 on Friday night, the night before an international, to say they're coming soon. Sort of a classic take out the trash announcement for the media that only seems to have made the journalists who have been asking the questions of the SRU more annoyed. Alan, what do you reckon about this one?
I think, you know, the actual sort of subject matter itself is probably completely fair. You know, I know obviously with COVID, and then I know I was reading that the sort of financial director of the SRU, I think, has had some sort of significant health issues as well. So there's clearly sort of reasons for why it's delayed. I think there's obviously a feeling that in comparison to the other unions that the SRU have been a bit shoddy in getting it out. And I think just from an optics perspective, putting this sort of message out at 5:30 on a Friday before of a big match against Italy just looks like you're trying to sort of bury it a little bit. And I'm just not really sure what the SRU thought they were going to sort of benefit from.
And is it not the case that, you know, the statements are obviously delayed and they won't be discussed at the AGM? Because the actual, it says the formal laying of financial statements will take place later in December. So in reality, you know, the accounts were meant to be released in May. You've had that initial delay, which I think is very understandable. But to have yet another delay and them still not actually be ready for the AGM, if I've got my facts right, I mean, that doesn't look great.
It certainly does not, and it certainly adds to the perception that, whether real or not, the perception of the SRU that they are sort of hiding these figures away. And I think all the time saying that they're under extreme financial difficulty, which I've no doubt is true, but, you know, they should be able to stack that up with their accounts at some stage. So we will keep an eye on when they are actually going to appear. And Alan will do his now world famous SRU accounts quiz. So that's really why we care. We're just sort of that's looking like it might be a Christmas episode treat for everybody.
I was just going to say my Christmas present to the people.
Exactly, and what a thing to look forward to. A really turgid 1872 Christmas edition followed by a quiz about the profit and loss of the SRU. We know how to get it done over here. Not much else news-wise. It's Monday evening. Obviously, Scotland played on Saturday night. There hasn't been any significant news regarding any Scotland injuries, and we'll come on to talk about any announcements that have come out of France when we preview that game. So, Matt, I'll come to you first, and we'll talk about Scotland's win against Italy at the weekend. 28-17 in the end. Tries from Big Doohan, Mick van der Merwe, Xander Ferguson, Scott Cummings, and Turner. Dunkey Weir adding the extras from the tee. Single try from Italy and a few penalties. Matt, give me sort of a 20 seconds overview of your thoughts on the Scotland game from the weekend.
Yeah, obviously a pretty slow start. And it wasn't until, you know, apart from a little patch in the first half, it wasn't until kind of the 55, 60 minute mark that I think Scotland's quality started to come through as the Italians started to tire as well. It was pretty nervy for that opening period, but I think I was still pretty confident that if Scotland improved their discipline and got their hands on the ball, then they had, you know, more than enough to break down Italy. I think the encouraging things are the impact of the bench and just how, you know, Scotland managed to overcome what was a pretty tricky encounter. I think that Italy, to their credit, made life really difficult and took their chances well in that sort of first half. So for Scotland to clearly not be at their best, but still in the end come away with the bonus point win is a pretty good outcome, really.
Alan, what did you make of it all?
I was going to say, what do you think about Peter Wright's comments that this Scotland pack is, for him, the best pack we've had since the 1984/90 Grand Slams?
Yeah, I did see that. It was interesting. I think particularly the front five is kind of one of the strongest I can remember for a while. And obviously Richie and Watson, we know how well they've been playing. I still think number eight is a position we haven't nailed down. He did mention that as well. I think Blake Thompson was getting some kind of, I saw a few player ratings giving him like 4 out of 10. I didn't think he was that bad, but he gave quite a few penalties, and it just didn't seem as if Scotland, you know, had a way of bringing him into the game and sort of making the most of his skills. So you'd like to think that maybe with Matt Ferguson coming in over time, you know, that would add a lot. I felt that, you know, if you look at the replacements like Skinner, Turner, Keble in particular, they all added a lot. But then at the same time, I thought Haining was pretty ineffectual when he came on. So it's just that kind of number eight, and maybe actually overall back row depth, notwithstanding Skinner, that is the issue.
Yeah, I guess it felt sort of, especially in that first quarter, like the pack hadn't really shown up. And I think, you know, obviously there was issues in the scrum that appeared to be potentially due to Sutherland's injury, and then also sort of Richie going off with that HIA. But I think one of the questions, Marks, we've always had, and actually something we were discussing during that first half, is that pack's potential sort of lack of leadership. And I think it appeared anyway that coming out in that second half that, you know, a few of those players, kind of Yazanders, Hamish Watson, Scott Cummings especially, really sort of were able to kind of raise their performance up to another level, because, you know, that Italy pack aren't complete jokers, right? And I think it was kind of nice to see that, you know, obviously we were playing away in Italy. We probably weren't playing our greatest rugby. Italy were probably playing at a level higher than they'd anticipated. And it was nice to see some of these young guys. I know Hamish isn't that young, but from an international kind of standpoint, he's quite young. It was nice to see them sort of be able to sort of take that on board and sort of raise their game in the second half.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, just overall, it was pleasing to see the team kind of overcome quite a lot of adversity that took place during that first half. Obviously, Jimmy Ritchie going off with an HIA, and then the scrum getting pummeled, culminating in Sutherland like limping off. At the same time, you had a referee who was seemingly just doing absolutely no favors for Scotland at the breakdown and at the set piece. I think that a few years ago, that kind of game, particularly if there was a crowd, I don't know if Scotland would maybe have the fortitude to come back from that. You know, it seems as if Townsend's words at halftime are pretty effective, but you did kind of see that improvement in the second half, which is encouraging.
I do like to think we're sort of relatively balanced when it comes to refereeing performances on this podcast. But I did think Luca Pierce was a little bit sort of off the mark. And I actually do normally like Luke Pierce. But I think, you know, there was a few penalties that felt kind of in the general context of how he was refereeing the game to be quite soft in regards to Scotland. And then I think, you know, you were banging on this quite a lot, Matt. You know, there was so many times where it really felt like Italy were kind of giving penalties away at the breakdown and just were not getting pinged for it.
Yeah, 100%. I'm just like, I can think of a couple of examples where, you know, Haining made a tackle and made every effort to move away, and then Luke Pierce penalised him seemingly for nothing. Another time when Cummings ripped the ball and then dived on it and it was called offside, which was wrong. And then there was a point, I think, at the end of the first half when Hamish Watson was kind of jackaled over the ball, and Luke Pierce took about 5 seconds to ping the Italians for holding on. It was like he was trying to find a reason not to penalise them. And then I thought the real kind of the icing on the cake was when Turner crossed for that final try, and Luke Pearce referred to the TMO because he said he had a funny feeling that Turner had dropped it. And if you look at the replay, an Italian guy comes running in, the winger, I think, and starts making that knock-on sign with his hand. So, I don't know, it just kind of felt like a bit of a shambles, really.
Luke Pearce, conspiracy theories start here. On the take from the Florence Mafia. I mean, a lot of the pre-match discussion, not the Amazon pre-match discussion, which we should come on to talk about, but the actual pre-match discussion in the media was about Duncan Weir. How did you think he equipped himself? For me, it was, you know, pretty poor in the first half, but then sort of seemed to settle, and like most of the squad, seemed to settle a bit and had a much better performance in the second.
Yeah, I think that's probably about right. I think on the whole, that 9, 10, 12 axis just wasn't particularly working very well, especially throughout the first half. I think Price, you know, wasn't really able to kind of take control of the game. I think Dunkey Ware, in that first half, almost looked like he was trying a little bit too much, and I think there was a few passes that sort of went astray, and obviously he sort of fell off the tackle for the Italy try. So, but I think to that point, I think Duncan Weir did come back pretty strong in that second half, and obviously was they cancelled out what would have been probably one of Scotland's definitely sort of best tries of the last sort of 12 to 18 months. So, you know, I thought it was kind of a mixed performance from Duncan Weir, and I think it's kind of fine against Italy, but I think if we sort of have that sort of performance again in the first half against France, you might end up getting to a point where you're sort of already too far behind before you're sort of getting into the game.
Yeah, I agree on the whole. I think, you know, the things you'd expect from Dunkey Weir are maybe playing a bit deeper than a Finn or a Hastings, but in doing so, giving himself time and room to kick the corners. And he seemed to be sort of trying to play a game that wasn't, you know, that he wasn't entirely comfortable with, and seemed to be throwing a few sort of 50-50 balls. I suppose the thing is, you know, we're going to have to, or it seems like he's still the man with the number 10 jersey for the rest of the autumn. So you'd rather he sort of had his first hit that bad half bedding in against Italy than, you know, against France. So hopefully it's just kind of a case of him getting used to those surroundings again, playing with that team, which, he obviously hasn't played with them for a long, long time. I just like to see maybe a bit of a game plan that suits his strengths more than we saw against Italy.
And I think we've sort of talked about as well is, you know, Sam Johnson did look a little bit like off the pace and didn't look kind of the Sam Johnson from sort of maybe early sort of 2019, where he really was kind of at his peak, kind of hitting lines. And I think, you know, Duncan Weir probably, hopefully, just an extra week of him and Sam Johnson being able to sort of work together will do absolute wonders for that sort of combo.
I thought that when Scotland did manage to put phases together and show what they could do in attack, that kind of more direct approach in the midfield from Johnson and Harris looked quite good. I thought it was actually paying dividends. And when you sort of got the patterns in play and you had the likes of Watson and Kebble when he came on in particular, sort of running in the outside channels, it was quite impressive. Duncan Weir did also have that really nice pass for Doohan on the wing that then led to the Fagerson try. So, yeah, I definitely felt he came into the game a lot more, and hopefully you sort of saw some signs of what Scotland are trying to do in attack, because I don't know if we've seen that in the last four or five games, even though Scotland have obviously got the victories.
Duncan Weir and Chris Harris for the Lions then?
Well, that's what I was about to say. I mean, he may get a little bit of a lukewarm reception on this podcast, but Paul O'Connell, Lions legend, has chucked Dunkey straight in at 10 for his Lions team of the week, which I think, bite your hand off for it. Stop the count. That's it.
No, absolutely. We'd love to see Dunkey Weir on the plane down to South Africa. I guess, you know, essentially the standout performer and someone that I increasingly think will go to South Africa, back home, is Duhan, who again kind of looked like a bit of a duck to water.
Yeah, I think he topped the certainly topped the meters made for the match, and obviously bagged that try. It's a lovely line, just that sort of creative short line to sort of break the deadlock for that his first try, which I thought was very, 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 very nice. He had, let me have a look, 143 meters carried, which is, yeah, really impressive. And I've just seen he's been voted the player of the weekend on the Autumn Nations Cup Instagram. So just, you know, he's racking up all of these accolades.
How many people are voting on that Autumn Nations Cup player of the week? I mean, like, I didn't even know that was a thing.
I don't know, but Jeff Bezos has got all their info now.
That's true.
Every time you vote, he's just scraping that data.
No, I think you're totally right. It was pleasing that Duhan seemed to be looking for work as well. Just seems to be hungry to get on the ball, and maybe that's due to Townsend basically telling him to. But obviously, that line for the try was really nice, and then he also just kind of showed up in and around the breakdown quite a lot, and he's just always going to make those meters. Having him and I think Kebble have just added so much quality to that Scotland team. Even if you don't obviously start Kebble, it's looking like he will against France, but he is an absolute man mountain. You know he's going to hold up the scrum, and he's really great in the loose. So I think those have been two of the most sort of pleasing squad additions in the last year or so.
Totally agree. I mean, just having the luxury of bringing on, obviously seeing Roy Sutherland limp off was, you know, pretty devastating given the quality he's brought to the side since his return at the beginning of the year. But, you know, to have the luxury of bringing on a guy like Kebble for the best part of sort of 65 minutes is such a treat. And then we've already talked about, you know, the quality that a guy like Sam Skinner brings coming off the bench. I think Nick Haining didn't tear up trees, but he's a pretty solid addition to bring on there. Obviously we've got George Turner, Stumel legend George Turner had an incredibly effective 25 minutes, not least with his try. And then Sam Hidalgo-Klein looked like he sort of slotted back into international rugby as well. So something we talked about on the pod last week, that bench now starting to look like something that Scotland actually have as a weapon rather than just, oh Christ, we need eight more bodies to make up this squad.
Can't believe Hidalgo-Klein got another late match turnover in his own 22.
Getting famous for them now.
I know, pretty incredible. Do we
it's the lid. Gives him superpower. His lid. His lid is unbelievable. Like, I've never seen such a razor sharp parting.
The precision of that parting is unbelievable. Is he, I mean, Tom Evans, probably the current holder of best looking player to ever play for Scotland, but is Sam knocking at the door there?
I reckon I'd bang Sam over Tom.
I think that's a really bold shout.
I think that's a bit punchy. I think he's close, but Tom's pretty good.
Yeah, we all like different types, right?
Fair enough, yeah. But yeah, no, it's good to see him. It'll be interesting to see that bench scrum half slot, because obviously Steele was in and has now been dropped. George Horn's been sort of holding that spot for the last 2 years, but whether Sam can make that his own, I suppose he's a different proposition to bring on a George Horn, for example.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
No, absolutely. I guess, I mean, do we think there's going to be, you know, any changes moving into the game against France this Sunday?
Yeah, so it's looking like Sutherland and Ritchie are going to be out for the weekend. On Sutherland, I'd expect Keble to come in, which, you know, as I said, I think he'll do a pretty good job there. I think the slight concern is that the next cab off the rank in the Scotland squad at loose head is Jamie Batty, who, to be fair, has always done a reasonable job for Scotland, but he hasn't been playing any meaningful rugby for Edinburgh for seemingly the last kind of year or so. And, you know, he will be up against a pretty formidable French pack. It'll be interesting to see what they do at flanker because, you know, the options are, I suppose, you either put Nick Haining in again, but I see him as more of an eight. There's potentially you could move Thompson to six and bring in someone like Cornel Dupria, or you just do a straight swap for Sam Skinner. I'd probably prefer to see Skinner involved. And, you know, I think obviously Richard's been playing so well recently, but Skinner's still a really great guy to put in there.
Yeah, agreed. It feels like, especially with the size of that French pack, Skinner just gives you that little bit more heft. And I wonder if potentially, I mean, I was wondering if they might even bring in someone like Conor Dupree, who, you know, whilst obviously I think Blake Thompson does a few things well, I do think it is noticeable even on Saturday when he's up against people like Bledry that he doesn't have that power that, you know, most kind of international number eights have. And I wonder if just having someone like Conor Dupree just gives you that ability to sort of manage the size of that French pack a little bit more effectively.
And that would certainly make sense. It's a bit of a clunky segue, but I was just reading that, speaking of number eights, Adam Ash has announced that he's moving to join the Los Angeles Giltinis in the Major League Rugby.
That's absolute classic.
Yeah, it's actually a great move for him, to be fair.
David,
he says he hopes to expand his CBD business over in California.
That's the place to do it, to be fair.
Good on him.
Yeah. I think
I got really excited by that.
No, I think David Dennis is moving there from Exeter as well. So
yeah,
they're building up a decent team. Still don't understand the name, but yeah, pretty good.
I think the genesis of the name, not just like there's a rich guy has just decided that that's what he's calling them.
Oh, they've got they've signed DCH as well.
Have they?
Yeah.
Oh. That's LA for a little bit of rugby. That is so good.
Yeah.
How much do you think you're actually getting? They can't be paying that much salary over in that Major League Rugby. The crowds are like pretty terrible. But fair play. And whilst it's like, I guess, I don't know, I was trying to think, I know they've had some people like Bastereau, who I guess if like you're kind of mildly interested in rugby and you lived in, I don't know, if like New York, you might be like, oh, Bastereau's playing, I might go along, sort of that sort of David Beckham effect on sort of LA Galaxy. But I guess it's, you know, it feels like Ash and DTH, they're not that those sort of players, but they're actually probably like really effective players for that standard of rugby.
Yeah, I mean, Ash is, what, 28 or so? 29?
Yes.
Still should have a lot to give, but I don't know, maybe the offers aren't that great, particularly in other bits of the world, particularly when I don't know, you combine that like CBD business opportunity in California. I feel like that's what quite a lot of the contracts, or that's what, how quite a lot of those contracts are positioned for older players like a Chris Robshaw, for instance. It's kind of, it's about the broader opportunities that it might give them, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's weird as well, because the Giltini isn't actually, it's not even like a real drink. The guy is like an Australian guy who's launched the franchise, has named the team after a yet-to-be-launched cocktail.
Just love that. God, just give me the confidence of like a multi-millionaire.
The guy's clearly mental. But...
wow. I wish him all the best in launching firstly the Giltini and then his sports brands off the back of this drink. Unbelievable. A little bit of a segue there, but a worthwhile one, I think we can all agree. But should we have a look ahead to Sunday, Scotland versus France? The news coming out of the French camp is obviously that Romain Ntamack is injured and is not going to play, so probably see Mathieu Jalibert playing at 10 for them. And also, when we spoke last week, France, we were hoping France were going to name a basically a second string against Scotland. And that is what initially happened. But then with the cancellation of their game against Fiji, all of the players that needed a rest week subsequently got their rest week. And they've now gone pretty full bore for Scotland. Taking into account, obviously, what we saw at the weekend against Italy, and everything that we've just discussed, how do you feel about Scotland playing against France this weekend, Matt?
Yeah, I'm fairly cautious, I suppose, just because France, throughout that Six Nations, did play really, really well. And we're ultimately a bonus point away from winning the whole thing. I think there were quite a few mitigating circumstances when we did defeat them, like Ntamack going off and obviously that red card, but I still think Scotland played very well. But you've kind of got this France squad, particularly in the pack, with the likes of, you know, Olivon, Willemse, Kroos, Bernard Leroux, Camille Chat if he starts, who are just on really top form at the moment. And combine that with, you know, Dupont, Ntamack, Fakatawa in the back line and Fiku as well. Like, it's going to be a really stern test of a Scotland team that ultimately, with Sutherland, Ritchie and Russell/Hastings out, are missing like three of their most important players. I still think that, you know, the fact that we did beat them at Murrayfield is big. The fact that Ntamack's out is also could be a big factor. But it's going to be a pretty stern test that France are probably fairly confident of winning.
I think you sort of look at it in isolation and you look at that French team and you really are like, fucking hell, that is a sort of a banging team and almost probably the, on paper, the best team in the Northern Hemisphere. But given the fact that Scotland have won the last two games against France, it's at home at Murrayfield. I think this Scotland team probably feels a lot more comfortable going up against a France than it would like an England or an Ireland still.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And I think ultimately, if that pack, you know, if Peter Wright is right and, you know, that pack is sort of the best since sort of the 1990, then it really is on them to sort of be able to sort of step up and sort of manage that French pack. And I think, you know, the names you've mentioned, especially Jamie Ritchie, who in that game against France, you know, got MOM and was really able to sort of beat out people like Olivon and Audrey around the breakdown. It's kind of hard because obviously Sam Skinner just doesn't give you that, which, you know, that Ritchie-Watson combo was just so powerful, especially around sort of the breakdown and getting those turnovers to just kind of manage that game better than France.
Yeah, I think you're right. It'd be interesting to see how France do approach the game without Ntamack, because I think Jalabert is the most likely candidate to step up. But it did seem as if after Ntamack went off in that Scotland game back at the start of the Six Nations, that Dupont was slightly lost at that point.
So
I wonder if, you know, Ntamack is a kind of it's double jeopardy slightly for them, that Dupont is nullified slightly because, you know, at the moment he is arguably like the best player in the world. But I think Scotland did a pretty good job of containing him actually when we did play them. And I feel like although Italy wasn't perfect, I think Scotland would be pretty happy coming off the back of it that they've been tested physically, they've had a proper run out and have come through it okay. Whereas, you know, France didn't have that game against Fiji, a couple of weeks off. Maybe they're approaching the game in a slightly different way.
It's time for Chris Harris to reaffirm his Lions credentials by absolutely smashing Vakatawa, man on man.
Harris for the Lions is like a juggernaut. I don't know if it can be stopped. There's so much public support behind it.
And you know what? He comes across as such a good guy as well.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that interview you did with the SEU was really good, actually.
So, yeah. So the social media team of the Lions would be like, yeah, we need him. We need a guy like that we can put front and center. These are how the big decisions are made. that's Sunday now. So the Scotland squad will be announced, I believe, on Friday. So follow us on socials at Thistle Rugby Pod, and we'll be giving you the sort of snap reaction to that. So very, very exciting. And hopefully, so this could be Scotland's sixth win in a row, which I think is the first time they've done that since, is it the mid-80s, Alan?
89, 90, if I remember correctly.
Oh, and so I think they've done it really good.
Yeah, they've done it twice, I think. So I think they did it once then, and then once sort of obviously early on in the 20th century.
Well, certainly something to shoot for. Anne, have you got a wee quiz for us?
I do. It's a very quick one, relatively sort of, I'd say it's on the more sort of boring end of the sort of Alan quiz spectrum, but we'll bash through it.
It's what a spectrum that is as well.
I know. I don't think I've ever, I need to sort of have a think and sort of go back to the old sort of Harry Potter character or Scottish rugby player quiz of sort of Christmas 2016. But I'll try and dig something out over the next month. But no, so this on Sunday is the 98th match between Scotland and France. How many matches have Scotland won in the history of Scotland-France battles?
33.
Matt?
31.
Dave takes it. 38 matches won.
That's all right.
Out of 97. So then the question to throw back at you, how many losses have Scotland had?
So say 38 wins.
97 matches in total. Matt, you go first.
55.
Dave?
48? That's a lot of draws, actually. Yeah, 48. Why not?
Matt, absolutely bang on. 38 matches won, 55 losses, and 3 draws. 41% win rate across the history. So I guess 41% win rate across the history of matches. But what do we think the Scotland percentage win rate is in the professional era? So from the end of the 95 World Cup through to right now. Matt, Dave, you're up first. Percentage.
22.
Matt?
27.
Dave just takes it on 24%.
Oh,
awful.
Right. And the final question, 5 points up for grabs, although two of them have to be bankers, or we literally have to end the pod. how many countries have, Scotland and France have played each other in 5 countries. What are those 5 countries? I'll give you 15 seconds to sort of gather your thoughts. And I think some of the answers are probably easier when you actually sort of just sit back and have a wee think about it. But there is 5 countries that Scotland and France have played matches in. What are those 5 countries? Right. Matt, you're up first.
Scotland.
Correct. Dave, I'm assuming you've got that.
I've got Scotland and I've got France as well, actually, which I'm quite happy with.
Matt, next one.
Australia.
Correct. Oh, 2003 World Cup.
And what was this? It was like 52-3 or something.
Yeah, we got an absolute pumping.
Hosing.
Didn't Chris Patterson score that like monster drop goal, though, which like gave like a hint? Or was that maybe against Australia?
I think that was against Australia.
In the halfway.
Yeah. I did. Did you get that, Dave?
I had Australia, yeah.
I don't
Next one. That. Next one.
I don't believe you.
Come on.
I've written down New Zealand here, but I don't think it's right.
Matt, did you have New Zealand?
I didn't, actually.
New Zealand is correct.
Uh-huh.
1987 Rugby World Cup, Scotland played France.
Lovely.
And then final one, Matt?
Is it South Africa?
Dave?
I didn't have any more written down.
It was 1995 World Cup when Intermac Senior scored the winning try in the group stages.
Of course.
And so I think that's 4-all, and Dave was 2-1 up. So Dave takes it 6-5.
Wow.
There you go.
The Roaring Twenties indeed.
I know. The Roaring Twenties is so alive and kicking. Yeah. Like this is Scotland's decade.
If the Scottish football team had beaten Slovakia last night, I would have fully believed it.
Nah, no one cares. Andy Murray's going to come back. He's going to win Wimbledon.
Yeah. Yeah, the Scottish football team were all absolutely hanging balls as well. Like, you can't ask them to do a Thursday night sesh and then play a game on Sunday as well.
Yeah, exactly. It's Chris Hoy's going to come out of retirement probably, win like something at the Tokyo Olympics. It's going to be unreal.
Rona Martin's going to come back to curling. Although, actually, we've got Eve Muirhead, so we've already got curling sewn up.
Yes.
It'd be great to get Rona back on the ice.
No. I actually saw Rona Martin was a pointless answer on Pointless a few weeks ago. It was name a UK flag bearer, and she obviously did it for one of the Winter Olympics.
I didn't
actually think of her as an answer. I didn't really think of. I was trying to think more of like Summer Olympics, but it would have been a good one.
Wow.
Was it Edinburgh Leinster starts in 5 minutes? What's our predictions?
Oh goody.
Well, you were saying earlier that you've got a bit of money on the line, Alan.
I'm backing. I know Edinburgh have had a pretty turgid start to the year, but obviously they kind of won their last two. And whilst I don't think Edinburgh are going to beat Leinster away, I don't think this Edinburgh team and Cockerill in general is just going to put out a team that's going to get absolutely pumped. So what I did do is that the spread on Betfair is 21 points, so they're expecting Leinster to win by 21, and I put money on Edinburgh to win with obviously a 21 point lead. And then what I've also put money on is the total points they've got is 51. And so I put money on there to be less than 51 points in the match, because not only do I think there's just not going to be a lot of points in it, especially from an Edinburgh perspective, but also it's been the weather's been looking a bit crap in Dublin, so I don't expect there to be many points being done. But I'm almost certainly going to be wrong, and Leinster are going to win like 55, like 7, so should be all right. That's not my prediction.
You're on a hot streak with your best as well, so.
I am. DJ, what a man. Absolute. Yeah. DJ and Biden are absolutely coming through for me. In a great. Freya's Trust Fund is absolutely kicked off with a bang. Just going to hand her over my Betfair account when she turns 18. Whatever's in it is what she gets.
and that tenant's advent calendar as well.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, the tenant's advent calendar. How good. We're sort of just talking nonsense now, but how brilliant is that?
There's going to be a sponsorship deal with the tenants and the thistle.
Yeah, the days of Christmas brought to you of kind of Scottish rugby brought to you by tenants.
Yeah, I mean, we probably shouldn't be saying that, seeing as I think we are still technically sponsored by Beer 52. So, but you know, you've got to, when the king comes calling, you got to say bye bye to Beer 52.
While we're still working with them, you might as well go on to beer52.com/the thistle and get yourself some beers for $4.95. 10 beers delivered straight to your door. An absolute bargain.
Any idea what type of beers, mate?
I don't know what they are. I had some delicious German Weiss beers in my last box. And they were all right. You know, if you want a ringing endorsement, that's it.
Nice. Right.
Shall we call it an evening then, chaps? By the time this podcast is with you, you will know if Alan has made his fortunes for Freya on the Edinburgh-Leinster game. So, but as I say, keep in touch with us. Sign up to the newsletter. That's Substack, Thistle Scottish Rugby Pod. Check us out on socials around Friday in particular for the squad announcement. That's at Thistle Rugby Pod on Twitter and Thistle_Rugby_Pod on Instagram, and send us an email anytime you bloody like. That's thistlerugby@gmail.com, and we will speak to you very soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.